Well, each year, Time Magazine puts together and features a person of the year. They profile a person or sometimes a group, an idea, even occasionally an object that, for better or worse, has done the most to influence the events of the year. So for 2020, the Time Person of the Year, drum roll please, Mayhem! Mayhem is the person of the year because for so many, 2020 has been just that. It's been a difficult year of health concerns. It's been a difficult year of financial struggles, political turmoil, relational conflicts, disappointing cancellations or changes, technology advancements and changes, social distancing. And you've probably got a list of things that has made this year particularly challenging and difficult for you as well. For many, this Christmas season has been anything but peaceful. And so, for many, like me, you've experienced a lot of personal changes, a lot of challenges. Just kind of thinking back over the last 9 months or so, many of you know that in the summer, right after Father's Day, I had COVID. It wasn't severe, just no headaches, no fever. Well, I had headaches, but no fever, no other issues, some dizziness. But the lingering effects after I felt better physically were longer emotionally and mentally. I just was off for a while. Even with that, throughout the time of this COVID pandemic, as a church, we've had to make a lot of changes and a lot of adjustments, cancel a lot of things, try to figure out how to do this hybrid of in-person and online. Many people feeling disconnected and isolated, and how we can do that, not just as pastors and elders, but how we can care for one another as an entire body of Christ. And it's been a challenge, and we haven't done it perfectly. And it's been difficult. Along with that, there have been disagreements about a lot of things. There have been disagreements about services or Sunday school, children's ministries. There have been differences of opinion about masks and social distancing, how we connect. There have been quite a few differences in how we as a church have tried to remain politically neutral and represent the kingdom of God in a divisive political climate. And there have been a lot of people who have disagreed with how we've done it, that we haven't done enough or we've been too much. You know, with that, outside of ministry, our family has gone through quite a few challenges and difficulties. Our son Stephen finished up his senior year online and had kind of a graduation, and he had a black eye because of it, literally and figuratively. Our daughter Lauren completed her college program online and had kind of a backyard graduation in May, and then we had the real thing yesterday, or on Friday rather. It was just a lot of changes and unmet expectations. Along with that, Dee Dee had to figure out how to do and teach fourth grade online. And then even begin a school year online, navigating things with administrators and coworkers and parents and students. She's done incredibly well with the up-ramp and on-ramp of technology, but it's been a challenge. You know, some of these changes have been even just with great things. During this year, the week before everything shut down, our son Michael and Riley got married. A great celebration, and then we really haven't been able to see them much since then. And it's been difficult. The one time we did see them, they were moving, and that had its own challenges. And then we moved Lauren from my sister's house into their new apartment yesterday. Not only did Michael get married in March, Lauren's getting married a week from today. I got to figure it out. It's happening. And it's different. and more complicated and not everything that we dreamed it would be. This has just been a year of mayhem. And so what we need this Christmas, I know what I need this Christmas, is just peace. Peace not like the world gives it and what the world talks about, what the world dreams of, but peace that comes from Christ. Christmas peace. Even as Jesus prepared to go to the cross in our place, he had peace. Knowing exactly what was coming, the betrayal, the denial of Peter, and the scattering of the disciples, the mocking and the abuse, not to mention the separation and the isolation, not because of COVID, but because of our sin that was placed on his shoulders, his complete death and crucifixion in our place. Knowing all that was coming, knowing what was right around the corner for him, Jesus himself, in the midst of chaos, of mayhem, he had peace. And it's that peace that he gives to us. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this, verse 27. He said, "Peace, shalom, irene, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." He goes on in verse 28 to say, "You have heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. But I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe." Verse 30, I will talk to you, I will not talk to you much longer, because the ruler of the world is coming, and he has no power over me. On the contrary, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do as the Father commanded me." Jesus promises to give us peace, but not just an absence of conflict. No, the presence of real peace. And so this morning, as we sing the songs of Advent, as we talk and hear the scriptures of Jesus' promised birth in Bethlehem and his promise to return and to shepherd us and to give us his peace, we rejoice that Jesus has given us his peace for fearful and troubled times like this. It's during days and days like today and seasons of trouble and fear that we need the Prince of Peace so we can rejoice in the peace that Jesus gives us. In days like today, in seasons like this, in times of trouble. So we want to ask and answer a couple questions this morning. The first one is, well, what does that mean? What is the peace of Jesus Christ? And then secondly, how can I experience that peace? Not just in theory, not just intellectually, but in my day-to-day life, in my conversations, in my actions, in my involvement with others, in how I live my life. How do I experience this peace that Jesus promises? Well, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you." We see that his peace is unique. His peace is this inner calm and the freedom from trouble, the freedom from anxiety that comes from trusting a sovereign God. His peace is a calm, a freedom from anxiety that comes when we trust in him, that he is good, that he's powerful, that he's sovereign. It's not a change of scenery. This kind of peace is not a change of circumstances. Especially when we consider this peace that Jesus experienced and was offering to his disciples, was offering to us, was in the midst of his greatest conflict, in the midst of his greatest disconnect with humanity, as he bore our sins on the cross, as he was rejected by his friends, as he was rejected by the world, as he was even rejected by God, as he bore the sins of humanity. Now this peace that Jesus experienced was by trusting the Father and his plans and his goodness and all that would happen. It wasn't removing him from conflict. It was through the conflict that Jesus experienced peace. And so it's through our conflict, it's through our difficulties, through our fears, through our trouble, that we experience his peace. It's an inner calm. It's a freedom from fear, a freedom from anxiety. And that's the peace I need. Not, Lord, change my circumstances, but, Lord, change my heart to experience the peace that you've offered and that you promised to give. His peace was a settled confidence from Jesus, knowing he was loving and obeying the Father. And that peace comes to us as we trust him and as we love Jesus, love the Father, love the Spirit, the triune God that we just sang about. An inner peace, a freedom from anxiety that comes from trusting God's plans, God's purposes, God's timing, God's sovereignty. Well, secondly, his peace is, he says, is not like the world gives. I do not give you as the world gives peace. So your heart must not be troubled or fearful. His peace is not the worldly trouble, not the fear of anxiety that comes from living for ourselves, for living for our own interest. The disciples were troubled. They were fearful, primarily because they were focusing on their own problems. Even as Jesus started out this chapter, and he said to them, don't be afraid. He said, your heart must not be troubled, verse 1. Believe in God, believe also in me. And he goes on to talk about his promise to go to heaven to prepare a place for them. And really all they could think about was, Jesus, why are you leaving? Where are you going? What is this going to mean for us? What about all the things that we hoped in? They were thinking about themselves. They were thinking about their own interest. Just like I tend to think about my own interest, my own worries, my own troubles. And as we focus on ourselves, rather than focus on the interest of God and what heaven desires, we become even more fearful. We become even more troubled. It has a snowball effect. The more we focus on ourselves, the more we focus on what we want, how we want it, when we want it, from whom we want it, the more it just snowballs into more fear, more anxiety, more trouble. Because trouble and fear comes from trying to control things. More fear and trouble comes from trying to control circumstances, control the outcomes, whether it's outcomes of elections or jobs or school. And most often, the fear and trouble that we experience that the world often promises is fear that comes from trying to control others. And that never works out. Instead, that just leads to more fear and more trouble, more complicated relationships, and less peace, if no peace at all. And so the world fights for power and control. But the peace given by Jesus was not achieved by violence, as he goes on to explain and as we see throughout the rest of John's gospel. No, the peace that Jesus offers, in contrast to the absence of conflict, was through the presence of turmoil and danger and duress, all of which Jesus experienced as he did what the Father wanted, in his way, in his time, according to his plans. And even we saw the disciples as Jesus met the the betrayer and the army of those who, the small army who came to arrest Jesus. They were still trying to control circumstances. They were still trying to control the outcome. And it led to more fear and more trouble. Now, Jesus' peace is this joy of loving him more than anyone else or anything else. Peace is this inner calm, this freedom from fear and anxiety that comes from loving Jesus more than anyone else and anything else, especially when it relates to our interest and what we want and how we want it. Jesus said to the disciples, if you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father. If you really loved me, you would trust me. And you would rejoice that I'm doing what the Father wants, even if the short-term outcome doesn't look good. Now let's focus on the long-term, not only gains, but the long-term glory that awaits those who trust God, who obey him, and who demonstrate that by loving Christ. Now, Jesus' peace is grounded in loving the Father and obeying his will. And the peace of Christ comes from loving him more than the things we fear, loving him more than anything we fear that we will lose, more than anything we fight to have, or more than anyone or anything we fight to control. His peace is the joy of loving him more than anything on our Christmas wish list. More than wanting world peace is wanting peace of Christ. So, what is the peace of Christ? It's the inner calm, the inner freedom from anxiety and fear that comes from trusting God and loving him more than anyone else or anything else. So then how do we go about experiencing that personally? How do we take it from the head to our heart? How do we experience the peace of Christ today? You know, as I've reflected back over almost a half century or more than a half century of my life, and the significant seasons of trouble and fear, I found it's not a change of circumstances, it's not getting what I want that ever led to me experiencing peace with God. It's simply experiencing the peace that Jesus offered. The first time I reflect back and think probably the greatest experience in time of fear and trouble was my senior year of high school. The latter part of 1985 through 1986. When I had a lot of goals and dreams of what I wanted as a high school senior, that was all shattered when my dad said that he was going to leave my mom. And they were separated for a period of several months. And the fears and troubles of what that meant for me, my self-interest, college, how was I going to take care of my mom? The fear and trouble that caused between my dad and me at the time. And the only thing that got me through that with the prayers of faithful men and women was me drawing closer and closer to Christ. Learning how to trust God more than the things I feared. Learning to love Jesus more than the things that I was holding on to. And thankfully, my parents got back together and are doing great for the last 30-plus years. But it was during times of trouble that I needed the peace of Christ. Another time when I deeply needed to experience the peace of Christ happened 9 years ago this very week. It was through a significant season, the end of 2011 through 2012, where in ministry here at Plano Bible Chapel, I experienced a significant season of relational conflict and personal pain, rejection, hurt. most of the people that were praying for me were people that I went to outside who have been and still are close friends. And he said, pray for me, that I would trust the Lord, that I would be faithful, that I would be loving, even as I felt the pain of rejection and hurt. And that I would learn to love Jesus more than anything else and anyone else. And I grew to experience the peace of Christ. As I think back about difficult seasons, this past year has been in the top three. Those two previous ones being one and two, this year of mayhem has been three. I know it's been even harder for some of you facing greater personal conflicts, greater personal troubles because of illness or health or loss or change. And so, how do we experience the peace of Christ? Well, this year of mayhem, of trouble and fear for me personally, I feel the words of John Coffey. You know John Coffey, right? From the Green Mile, where he said, I'm tired, boss. Mostly, I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. That's worn me out. And this Christmas season, I need the peace of Christ. And I suspect many of you do too. Well, let's look back at John 14 of how we can experience, how we can receive this gift of peace that Jesus promises to leave with us. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, so that your heart must not be troubled or fearful. He said, you have heard me tell you that I'm going away and I'm coming to you. His promise all through the beginning part of John chapter 14 talks about how he's going to heaven to be seated next to the right hand of God the Father to prepare an eternal place for us. But as he does that, verse 13, he says, he tells us, because I'm going to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give to you. Or actually, that's not the right place. Well, it's in there. Where he promises that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, one who is of the same way, just as he is, sends us his Holy Spirit to not only live among us, but to live within us. The way that we experience the peace of Christ is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit that for those of us who have trusted in Christ as our Savior, believe that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead, that he ascended into heaven, that we experience his peace by walking in the Spirit. Walking, living. And this walking in the Spirit involves a continued awareness of him, a constant reliance upon him. And rather than us trying to control the circumstances and the situations of our lives, instead of us controlling, being controlled, led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything I've told you. And this peace of Christ, as we walk in His Spirit, is a spiritual fruit. It's a spiritual result, supernaturally, of listening to Him, of being aware of Him, relying upon Him, being controlled by Him, so that we don't do what is selfishly in our interest, but we do supernaturally what is in God's interest and His desires. And we walk in the Spirit, secondly, by living according to His Word. Jesus reminded His disciples, you've heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming to you. You've heard me tell you all these different things that I'm doing, that I'm promising, that are going to happen. And so follow them. And His peace would come to them and would come to us as we remember what He said and live according to what He commanded. And the thing that's repeated over and over again, not only here in chapter 14, but in all of John, and then in 1 John, is in the same way that Jesus has loved us, That's how we love one another. And if we say we love Jesus, then that's demonstrated not only by loving him, but in the way that we love one another. I think it's significant that Jesus never talks about being right, demonstrating that you're right, proving that you're right, but demonstrating love for Christ by the way that we love. And that's really hard for our Western way of thinking, when reason and being rational, thinking and being right is a greater core value in our culture than loving and trusting. And yet, if we're going to experience the peace of Christ, it doesn't come by proving we're right. It comes by loving others as Christ has loved us. That's how we experience his peace. Verse 15, he says, and I got it right this time, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21, the one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and I will reveal myself to him as well as reveal his peace. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So how do we experience the peace that comes from Christ? Not as the world offers it, but as Jesus promises it. It's by walking in the Spirit, living by God's word to love others because Christ has first loved us. You know, most of the time when it comes to loving others, we know what we need to do. We just don't know if we have the strength to do it. But the strength to love others doesn't come from within ourselves. It doesn't come by some impersonal force around us. Having the strength to love others comes by living by the Spirit. Living by God's word. It comes by the power of God's Holy Spirit saying in difficult circumstances, in difficult relationships, in times of trouble and fear, Lord, help me love and loyalty and faithfulness and generosity and sacrifice, even during times of betrayal, as Christ has loved us. Not only walking by the Spirit, living by God's word, but prayer is a significant part of experiencing the peace of Christ. Praying for God's will. In fact, that's what Jesus did. What we find him doing as he prepares to go to the cross. He's constantly praying, not my will, but your will be done. Philip Yancey, in his book on prayer, writes, most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes, Yancey says, why God doesn't act the way that we want God to, and why I don't act the way God wants me to. And Jesus' prayer, talking to God in conversation, is, Father, I'm going to do whatever you want. Not my will, but yours be done, so that you are glorified, so that the world will recognize and see the love of the Father. Jesus isn't saying that he's going to the Father because the Father is greater in person. No, but because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one in essence, different in person, but the same in nature. And so whatever Jesus does on earth glorifies the Father in heaven. And so whatever we do here on earth in the same way is to glorify the Father in heaven. And we do that not in our own strength, but by praying for the Spirit's enablement. As we walk in God's Spirit, as we live by God's word, that we pray for God's will to be done, not just in earth in general, but in our hearts, in our lives, in our words, in our conversations, in our attitudes, and giving up control and letting us be wronged even if that's what's going to bring God glory and if that's what his plan is. Earlier, Jesus said to us in verse 12, he says, "Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." And so this peace that Jesus experienced was from his prayer for and obedience to the Father's will, as we read more in John chapter 17. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you." And he goes on to pray for the world and pray for the disciples, to pray even for us, that we would be one in our unity and our love for one another, that the world would know that we believe in him, that we are his disciples, and bring glory to God. And it's in that way that we experience this peace of Christ. Maybe a significant question for us is, why do we pray? Why should we pray for God's will? If God already knows what's going to happen, if he already knows what's best, why should we even consider praying for our political candidates to win according to our desires and our wishes? Why wouldn't we just pray for God's will to be done? But that doesn't sound very personal, very specific. We pray for health and safety, but sometimes maybe we're afraid of praying for God's will because that feels like maybe it's going to lead to more trouble. Maybe we don't trust God enough and we're more worried about our fears and troubles and health concerns or being right than trusting God and loving him more than anyone else and anything else. And so if God already knows what's going to happen, if he already knows what's best, why pray at all? Because Jesus did. Jesus prayed. The simplest and easiest explanation I get and why I pray specifically and why I pray is to connect with God himself, to conform my will and my interests to his, and that he would do that, give me his peace as I pray in his spirit, as I pray and live according to God's word, as I pray for God's will. That's how Jesus experienced God's peace during his greatest time of trouble. And that's how we experience Christ's peace and our greatest times of fear, of anxiety, of worry, doubt, or trouble. Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of Christ that comes to us through prayer. And finally, it seems like another piece to this puzzle of experiencing wholeness, completeness, peace with God is trust. Trust in God's promises. John stressed over and over again throughout his gospel the importance of believing, of trusting. And so in verse 29, Jesus says, "Now I've told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." And we can see these words of Jesus of promising what he says is going to happen actually happened. We can look back not only at the cross, but look back at Bethlehem. Look back at God's promises and faithfulness to Israel. Look even at God's design of creation. And trust that all of God's promises, the things that he said would happen, have happened. And yet there's still lots of promises, things that God has said will happen that have yet to happen and may involve trouble, may involve conflict, may involve mayhem. And yet Jesus promises his peace through it all as we trust in his promises. Jesus is a proven prophet whose every word is true. And what he said to his disciples is that I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He's preparing this eternal home for us and promising to return for us and to take us home to be where he is. Even if in the meantime, for the short term, we experience some trouble, some conflict, some struggle, we can experience his peace as we walk in his spirit, as we live according to his word, as we pray for God's will, as we simply trust in his promises that this world is not our home. And so rather than trying to control it or conform it, that we be controlled by his spirit and conform to the image of Christ and how we live and how we love. Believing Jesus' promise, even that he has overcome the world. Because one day there will come a time when it's not mayhem who is the person of the world, but it's Christ. And Christ will not only be the person of the year, not only the person of the decade, not only the person of the century, but Jesus promised that he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, who's going to be the person of the millennium, of all eternity, for those who trust God's promises that he came as a child to be born our Savior, the Prince of Peace, who would die in our place because he is the way, the truth, and the life for us to live forever with God in peace. It's peace not just for Christmas season, not just for a difficult period of life, not peace like the world offers, but his peace, peace with God, peace with each other, peace on earth. Let's experience it today, rejoicing that Jesus has given us his peace for troubled times. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your eternal plan of sending Christ to earth as a child to live a perfect, sinless life for sinful men and women and boys and girls. Father, we thank you for his obedience to your will, for the joy set before him that he endured the cross and its shame and suffering because of his love for you and his love for us. And Father, we thank you that even as he ascended into heaven, your sovereign plan and will was to send your spirit to indwell us as believers in him so that we could experience your peace, to be confident of our relationship with you, to be assured of our salvation, of the promises of our eternal life with you by faith. Father, I pray that as your people here this morning, regardless of the difficulties of things around us, of relationships or circumstances or things that we don't like and outcomes that are frustrating, Lord, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, enable us to experience the peace of Christ and that you would rule our hearts and minds. And every word that we say, and every thought that we have, every attitude that we experience, and every way that we bring you glory. Strengthen us, Lord, by your power. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Peace on earth.